The hymn I'm singing is When I See the Blood. Hallelujah. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and he will pass, we pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus we save, as he has promised that he will do. Wash in the fountain opened for sin, and he will pass, we pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly is due. Hiding the saving, sin cleansing blood, and if we pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and if we pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Father, we thank you for the saving grace, the saving power of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us from all our sins. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the security in the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the saving grace in the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Daddy, for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus upon us sinners. Thank you for that blood of Jesus that know no sin, that paid all the due for our sins. Daddy, we appreciate you. We say be thou exalted forever in the name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, as we go, even unto prayer session tonight, as we go even onto our program tonight, that you will pray, oh Lord, the blood of Jesus saturate every soul on this line, saturate every atmosphere, every nation, every country, every city, every state, every neighborhood that this message is being transmitted at this time, we cover with the blood of Jesus. We pray that the cleansing power and the blood of Jesus will forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. That we pray, oh Lord, that even our garden of tonight, we will operate under open heaven in the name of Jesus. Our prayer we ascend unto the throne of grace, to the presence of the Most High God, even as a sweet smelling savor, in the mighty name of Jesus. We decree and declare that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the sea and established upon the flocks. Who shall ascend unto the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He who have a clean heart and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sown deceitfully, the same shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek their face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory over our lives individually, over every soul on this mountain tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, we pray, O Lord, as we come to the throne of grace tonight, Father, to be able to obtain mercy so that we can find grace for help, even at this time of our need, individually, even as body of Christ, and even for our nations, for our world. Daddy, we pray, O Lord, we will find mercy. At the throne of grace tonight, we will find mercy in the name of Jesus, and we will get help even for our needs in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of glory, for as we are going to pray, as we are going to decree, even into your hearing, so you will do unto us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of glory, forever your name be praised, since we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 and amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord. My Bible passage that we are going to go through tonight is taken from the book of Ezekiel chapter 9. For a couple of weeks, about 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be talking, going through the book of Ezekiel. Tonight, we are going to the book of Ezekiel chapter 9. I'm going to read quickly from verse 1 to 11, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you have your Bible, you can open and follow with me, but if not, please listen, and the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1 to 11 reads, "Then the Lord thundered, 'Bring on the men appointed to punish the city. Tell them to bring their weapons with them.' 6 men soon appeared from the upper gate that faces north, each carrying a deadly weapon in his hand. With them was a man dressed in linen, who carried a writer case at his side. They all went into the temple courtyard and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel rose up from between the cherubim, where it had rested, and moved to the entrance of the temple. And the Lord called to the man dressed in linen, who was carrying the writer's case. He said to him, 'Walk through the streets of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of all who weep and sigh because of the detestable sins being committed in their city.' Then I heard the Lord say to the other men, 'Follow him through the city and kill everyone whose forehead is not marked. Show no mercy, have no pity. Kill them all, old and young, girls and women, and little children. But do not touch anyone with the mark. Begin right here at the temple.' So they began by killing the 70 leaders. 'Defile the temples,' the Lord commanded. 'Fill its courtyard with corpses. Go.' So they went and began killing throughout the city. While they were out killing, I was all alone. I fell face down on the ground and cried out, 'O sovereign Lord, will your fury against Jerusalem wipe out everyone left in Israel?' Then they said to me, 'The sins of the people of Israel and Judah are very, very great. The entire land is full of murder. The city is filled with injustice.' They are saying, 'The Lord doesn't see it. The Lord has abandoned the land.' So I will not spare them or have any pity on them. I will fully repay them for all they have done. Then the man in linen clothing who carried the writer's case reported back and said, I have done as you commanded. Then the man in linen clothing who carried the writer's case reported back and said, I have done as you commanded. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight we are going to look at the mark for salvation. Mark for salvation, as we read it from that Bible passage, that the angel in fine linen should go through the city, mark the forehead of some category of people. We are going to go through that. But before that, we thank the Lord. Mighty Jehovah, merciful and gracious Father, we thank you because your mercy endures forever and your grace appears for our salvation. Praise be unto your most holy name in the mighty name of Jesus, Savior and Redeemer of his people. We thank you for the mark you've placed upon us, that which separated us from destructions and that set us apart for salvation, for escape from death by the blood of Jesus Christ. To you be adoration, praises, honor, and majesty forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, 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 and amen. The song that I sang earlier says, Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and it will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Brethren, this Bible passage tonight, Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1 to 11, many of us will be thinking we can relate it to what happened at the Passover in the land of Egypt when the Israelites have to, leave Egypt. But this one is different. This mark is even different from the mark that we talk about in the book of Revelation, the mark 666. Those that did not receive Christ, those that, cannot endure because they are left behind, and they must get that number before they can have any transaction when the Antichrist comes. My brethren in the Lord, tonight Bible passage that I read earlier, the book of Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 1 to 11, was so scary to me while meditating on it. I was so dumbfounded about God's decision on the punishment he decided to place on the people in his own temple for all their abominable acts, for all their disrespect and dishonor shown towards him and his house, as it was written in previous chapter 8 that we dealt with last week. God determined in this chapter 9 to carry out his wrath upon his people, the elders in the house, and upon the people of the land as a whole. Prophet Ezekiel was taken into vision of the slaughter of the idolaters, those worshiping creatures created by God, and turning their backs away from the temple of God and bowing down worshiping the sun. This was against the commandments given unto the forefather of the Israelites according to the book of Exodus chapter 3 verse 3, 5a, that says, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth beneath, all that is in water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God. That is according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 5. The elders in the temple forsook this commandment and created images in their own secret room inside the sanctuary of God. And they were worshiping all images of creeping beasts, as we read in last week's Bible passage Ezekiel 8:9-12, that said that he said to me, go in and see the white abomination they are committing here. So I went in and saw, and there portrayed upon the wall round about were all kinds of creeping things and loathsome beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel. And before them stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, with Jezaniah the son of Shaphan standing among them. Each had his censer in his hand, and the smoke of the cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, every man in his room of pictures? For they say, the Lord does not see us, the Lord has forsaken the land. They were so happy for what was going on in the land, and they don't care. They said, God did not even see us. God did not see them for all the abominable acts, for all the repulsive acts, and that they believe that God has abandoned the land. God has abandoned his people. God don't care about them again. Is that not what is going on in our lands today? Is that not what is going with our elders in the church? Is that not what is going on? Elders, Levites, church officers, pastor, prophet, evangelist, bishop, talk of them, etc., that knows the commandment of God. They are the ones that defy the house of God. They practice repulsive act that push God away from his house. May God have mercy on us in the name of Jesus. Beloved in the Lord, what God wants us to know and hold on to as from tonight is that God is not an unjust God, and that he will repay everyone according to his work, according to how we take him in our lives and in the affairs of the house of God, the affair of his kingdom work, and even about our lands. God cannot abandon the work of his hand. God is not ready to abandon us. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price. The blood of Jesus will not be, you know, in vain over us, over the people that God sacrificed his only son for on the cross of Calvary. The book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Man can forget you. Man will forget your work and love for God's works and his house, but God will never. Verse 3 to 4 of that Ezekiel chapter 9 pointed it out that God will save those who showed genuine concern and love for his house, and those who mourned and wept, you know, they wept for the evil that goes on. They were weeping for what they have seen happen in the body of Christ, in the sanctuary of God, in churches, in the assembly of brethren. God said that the angel that wear white linen should go around and mark their foreheads. That verse 3 to 4 says, and the glory of God of Israel went up from over the cherubim upon which he has been to the threshold of the house, and he called out to men clothed with linen, who had the writer ink horn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh, that weep, that cry out because of all the abominations that are done in the midst of her. God instructed this man to slaughter those men that have, you know, weapons to kill, to destroy. There were six in number, but this particular one that carry even the writer case that have in his hand, each and every one of us, what we are doing, what they have done, how they have taken the case of the land, the situation of the church, how they have cried, how they are weeping, how they are mourning concerning that they did not take it as a I don't care attitude, that they should mark their foreheads. Go to the street, to the city, set a mark upon the forest of men that refuse to be silent, seeing the abominable deeds going on in the church or in the land, to mark the forehead of those that are weeping and mourning for the terrible things being done in the temple of God, and in our lungs. And those that are not being complacent, careless with the terrible reports you have in the body of Christ, in the assemblies of saints and in our land, they are to be rewarded for being concerned, troubled, and truly distressed for the acts of disrespect and dishonoring of the house of our God and of our land. Verse 4 says that that man in linen should go out first before the destruction started. Go out first. Mark these people for salvation. Mark them for escape from death, for the impending destruction coming upon the land, coming upon the house of God. The question I have for you and for me tonight, my brothers and my sisters, how are you handling the situation of things in our individual churches? How are you handling the situation of things, the repulsive act that is going on in the body of Christ? I say, oh, and how are you handling? How are you getting distress or mourning and crying because of the situation of our land? Are you showing any remorse? Or you are just having and showing that it doesn't concern me, none of my concern. It doesn't matter to me. As long as I have my food, as long as this is okay with me, as long as the gun shooting is not reflecting on my children, it's not coming, it's not eating any members of my household. I am not Jesus. And I cannot come and go and die for anybody. Oh, I'm not a president of the nation. I'm not the governor. I'm not the pastor of the church. I'm not the prophet. I'm not the evangelist. I'm not the bishop. What concerns me about it? Mine is to just come, let me worship and go back. Mark this verse that says, set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh, that cried, those one that did not feel, you know, easy, but that felt that were feeling so sad and are upset, and they cry daily because of all the evil that is going on in the body of Christ, in our assemblies, in the church, in the temple of God, and even in our city, in our state, in our nation of the world. He says, men that sigh and cry out because of evil going on in the church, you should go and mark their foreheads for salvation, for escape from slaughtering that is impending. Amos chapter 6 verse 1 says, woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure among Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come to. Our pastors, our GOs, our minister, our great men, renowned people that people call Lord, that they worship, that they are so highly exalted, they so much exalt them, they almost call them God, notable men and women of God. But they are folding their hands. They just kept quiet. What are they doing? The Bible saying that Amos 6:1, woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure among Zion, you notable men and women, all the most foremost nation, to whom people of Israel come. Brethren, we cannot afford to be complacent about the terrible act of things being done and going on in the sanctuaries of God, among the body of Christ and in our lands. What about you women? If Amos 6:1 talk about men, the book of Isaiah chapter 32 verse 9 says, you women who are so complacent, rise up and listen to me. You daughter who feel secure, hear what I have to say. And verse 11 says also, tremble. You women, tremble. You complacent women, shudder. You daughters who feel secure, strip off your fine clothes and wrap yourself in rags. Mourn concerning the situation of the land. Cry concerning the situation of the body of Christ. Cry unto God. Be in sober reflection. Don't just take it for granted. Don't just feel I don't care. Before we go into prayer session tonight, I quickly want to point out awesome men and women in the Bible that refuse to be complacent about the news and situation of things in the house of God and the land of Israel. I want us to see what they do concerning the impending evil wrath of God and about the anger of God shown upon the house of God and his people. Nehemiah's reaction to the situation of things in Jerusalem, as recorded in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. Verse 4 says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." That is somebody that shows concern, genuine concern, that Lord himself, you know, render itself even to the point of not eating for days. After all, he was not in Jerusalem. He was in Babylon, and he was the king cupbearer. For you to get to that position, you think is a joke? That's a lofty position. For you to be the one that will bring wine to the king. Nehemiah sat down, wept and mourned, fasted and prayed unto God for days. What of Ezra? The scribe said in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, "There by the Ava canal, I proclaim a fast, so that we might humble ourselves before our God." And in verse 23, he said, "So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayers." So God will answer us tonight as we cry tonight. "For we will plead unto God for the body of Christ and for our land." What about Esther in the book of Esther chapter 4, verse 12 to 16? She was informed about the situation of the Jews in the land and the plans of Haman to exterminate all the Jews from the land. She did not play "I don't care" attitude. After all, she was a queen in the palace, enjoying all the goods of the palace. But rather, in verse 15 of that Esther chapter 4, she sent reply to the king, to her uncle Mordecai. And in verse 16, she said, "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Shushan, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants, we fast as you do." She did not say, "Go and fast, and I will be eating the king's meat in the palace." She said, "Herself and all her servants." How many ministers will say fast, but they will be drinking, they will be eating, they will be having food on their tables? And then we declare fasting for the innocent people. May the Lord have mercy on us in the name of Jesus. And he said, "When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the Lord. And if I perish, I perish." Oh, what a woman. Another woman that will not stay muted, that the power of the prophets and judges in the land cannot silence her about the situation of the land of Israel, the woman called Deborah. In the book of Judges chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, this was the testimony of what God used her for in the land of Israel. "In the day of Shamgar, son of Anat, in the day of Jair, the highway was abandoned." That means that people cannot travel because of the wickedness on the highways. Travelers took to the winding path. They cannot go from place to place because killers, murderers are on the highway. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They are so powerless. They are rendered useless. Look at what happened. They head back. Everybody clinch it into their closet. Everybody hiding. Some will be even hiding. Men will go hide on top of the roof, where the women will still stand by the door. The Bible says, "Until I, Deborah, arose." Until I arose a mother in Israel. She arose a mother in Israel. She refused to be complacent about the situation of her nation. God is looking for individuals. God is looking for people. God is looking for assemblies of saints that we arise as mother in the body of Christ. In our lands, that we gather prayer warriors like Ezra and Esther did. And also individual, that we stand to mourn, cry and pray unto God for the body of Christ, for the forgiveness of the sin of our land. People like Nehemiah, this individual, and people that God commanded the angel in white linen to mark their forehead for salvation, for the impending destruction that will start in the sanctuary of God, then go into the city. Ezekiel 9:6 says, "Slay the old, the young men, the virgins, the children, and the women, But do not come near anyone upon whom is the mark. And ye must start from the sanctuary. Look at the next thing. Then they began with the men, the elders, which were in the front of the temple. They started the slaughtering. They started the killing. They started the destruction, even in the sanctuary of God. Lord, have mercy over us, your saints. Have mercy over believers in Christ. Have mercy over your church that Jesus paid the price with his precious blood for. Have mercy, especially on our elders in the churches, our lands, even church council members, upon our ministers of the gospel, upon prophets and apostles. Let me tell you, the nation that has most prophets in the land of the living as of now, Nigeria, that has most pastors, hundreds of pastors. You just see them little by this. Immediately they know how to talk on that one chapter in the Bible. They already declare themselves pastor. And even we ourselves, anytime we see somebody in front, we already started naming pastor, evangelist, apostle, whatever we call them. And that we swell up their head. May the Lord have mercy on us. If the sorcery starts from the sanctuary, if it starts from the house of God, how terrible will it be outside the house? Look at what happened. How many weeks do we had the story about the one in Buffalo? And look at what happened here in our very nose, Texas here. This is terrible. When we talk about Nigerians, what is happening here? The world need the Lord. People need the Lord. We need the Lord. We need to go back to our God. We need to repent. We need to humble ourselves. Cry to God for mercy. Enough is enough. My brothers, my sisters, you are on this land. It's not a joke. It's not by mistake. You will hear this message after tonight. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to show I don't care attitude? Are you going to be careless about the situation? Well, enough is enough. We must do the needful and stop playing with God. Stop dishonoring and disrespecting God, even in his house. We must stop practicing evil acts in the temple of God. Rather, let us have revenge, fear of God. Let us do away with familiarity, attitude towards God and even towards his temple, in our services and in the house of God and in our land. Let us remember that God killed Uzziah for touching the Ark of Covenant because of his act of familiarity. Because of his familiarity attitude, God is to be honored. He is fearful in praises as a sovereign God and an unquestionable God. My brother and my sister, enough of bamu bamu ni moyo emio mo bemi kwa meni kok. I don't care if somebody is crying in his house or in her house. I don't care, as long as I have my food, as long as it is well with me, as long as it is not coming near me, you are playing so, I don't care attitude. Complacency. Even towards the things of God. Do you want to be marked for salvation? Do you want to be marked not to be touched by the enemy? Let me tell you, when two people enter a room and they laugh when they were coming out, they did not talk real, the truth with each other. But when you hear noise, you know that they are stepping on their toes, each other's toes. They are telling each other the truth. And before you notice, they may come out of the room, you know, not talking to each other. This one go to the left, this one go to the right. But lo and behold, very soon you will see them come together. For they will realize, this one will realize his mistake or her mistake. That one will realize his mistake or her own mistake. And even if none of them can be bold to come. One will come and say, you know what? I know that I've done wrong. Just forgive. And that's how the old thing will go. But if we continue laughing, oh, can't you see what is going on in the church? Oh, can't you see the kidding? No, God is not happy when you do that kind of thing. I want you to pray according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Say, for God will not be unjust as to ignore your work, the love that you have shown for his name by the services you have rendered to the saints and still continue to render. I want you to say, my God, I thank you, for you are not an unjust God. Your God and my God is not an unjust God. He's a just God. He can never forget the work that you have done for him. He can never forget the love you have for the kingdom. I want you to thank him that you have a just God. Your God is not an unjust God. Your God is God of justice. Thank him. I want you to thank him and say, God, my love demonstrated towards saints for your sake, you will not forget. My love for the things of the house of God, my love for the work of the kingdom, Daddy, you will reward me accordingly. Can you say that? There is this song from by one of our African Afrobeat musicians that said that. Can you say that what you have done to that dumb person, that you will be rewarded the same? Or when you spit, you know that man is blind, and you just make you spit inside the drink of that blind person. Can you say God should pay you back? I want you to say, God, all the good that I've done towards the house of God, towards the work of the kingdom, towards my fellow brethren, because you are not an unjust God. According to Hebrews 6:10, Daddy, reward me according to my love for others, according to my love for the kingdom, according to my love for the house of God, in the name of Jesus, and that I will continue, that nothing will push you back, nothing will push me back. We will continue to serve God wholeheartedly, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amos 6:1 says, woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure amongst Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come. I want you to pray, my God, by your spirit upon me, I will not be complacent in the things that concern the body of Christ, in the thing concerning my land, my nation. You know your nation, mention it. You will cry and you will mourn for the situation of things in Nigeria, for the situation of things in Ghana, for the situation of things in America, for the situation of things in Ukraine, for the situation of things. You will not play complacency. You will not be complacent. You will not play I don't care attitude. By the spirit of the Lord that is upon you. Remember what Zechariah says. He says that the spirit of grace and supplication. I want you to pray. I want you to say, I will not feel secure seeing all the evil in the body of Christ and in our land, and be complacent about evils in the land. Some of us are saying, I don't care about other suffering and be attacked, as long as I and my family are okay. Like I said, the Yoruba will say, bam bam ni moyo, emi o mo gbe mi po me ni kokan. I want you to say, Father, by your spirit, help me that, Lord, I will not play any I don't care attitude concerning the situation of our land, concerning the situation of our nation, of our church, of the body of Christ. I say, oh, in the name of Jesus, pray, God, cause uneasiness, lack of peace for all our notable men. You see, he talks about it. He said, you notable men of foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come. They run, we are calling on them. You are the one, the minister on this. You are the GO of this. You are the apostle of this. Help us. But they don't care. They don't care. I want you to pray, God, cause uneasiness, lack of peace for all our notable men and women of our land, playing complacency, playing I don't care attitude over the situation of the body of Christ, over the situation of our land. Daddy, cause them not to be at ease. Father, cause them not to be at peace, but to do the right thing, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Isaiah 32 verse 9 says, you complacent women, get up and listen to me. You carefree daughters, Pay attention to what I say. I want you to pray. Almighty God, by your spirit, upon our women, we will stop being complacent about the condition of the body of Christ. I remember they said in the olden days, when things are not getting good in the land, the women, especially when they want to chase a king that is so unruly, a king that is so mercilessly dealing with the people of the land, when they want to chase him out of the throne, the women will go naked, the women will fight him. And let me tell you, we cannot do that, but we can fight our fight on our knees. We can come together and pray. Oh, thank God for this last February Winning Women Night. We thank God for what God did in our midst. God is looking for women that will arise and take it upon themselves that God, things must change in this land in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray, God Almighty, release upon all women of our land the spirit of grace and supplication tonight. Release it upon them that, Lord, you they will get up and they will pray in the name of Jesus. That is what Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 says. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. Let us pray for the release of spirit of grace and supplication upon all believers. The Lord, that spirit will descend upon the body of Christ. That we will pray, we will seek the face of God. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name, if my people who are called by my name. I was talking to with somebody, sister, this afternoon. I said, let me tell you, we have failed. We have failed because we have refused to go to the water. But they have come into us and we have stopped. Jesus said, occupy till I come. But we are folding our hands. We are saying it doesn't matter. Oh, we are witnessing all this because we are so careless. Because we are so carefree. Because we are complacent about the situation. May the Lord have mercy. I pray tonight that God will release upon you and upon me all the spirit of grace and supplication, the spirit of grace and prayer upon you, upon me, upon our women, upon our men, upon the ministers of the gospel, that they will stand up and stand in the gap, even for the body of Christ and for our nation, instead of fighting and making a competitive programs all around, in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 32 verse 11 says, tremble, you women at ease. You women at ease. You women at ease. Tremble. Throw off your complacency. Strip off your pretty clothes and put on ball up to show your grief. Oh, we can dress. Oh, we can buy. Talk of it. Talk of it. We can dress like to kill. Then we know. But we are slack in prayer. Women, 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 get up. Tremble, women. Stop playing complacency in the things of the church of God concerning the things in our land. Oh, no wonder children are being killed. No wonder shooting and killing. No wonder murdering all around. Because we fail to get up and pray. I want you to pray, Almighty God, by your spirit upon all women. Cause us to tremble before you in prayer. Cause the body of Christ to tremble. Oh, in the place of prayer. For the body of Christ and for our land. By your spirit, oh God, by the spirit of grace and supplication upon all women, we will be fervent and persistent in the place of prayer. Not that you pray today, you did not pray tomorrow. Oh, not that until when we have a prayer gathering, but momentarily, consistently, continuously, oh, fervent in prayer for the body of Christ, for our nation, so that we will have peace, so that we will see our three children grow up, become mighty men and women in the land. I pray, I decree and declare, our women will continue praying fervently for God's mercy over the body of Christ and over our lands in the name of Jesus. So I decree upon men the spirit of grace and supplication, the spirit of grace and prayer to before all our men, all notable men in the gospel, all ministers, all geos, that they will do the needful, that they will arise and gather people to pray like Ezra. Oh, they will arise, oh Lord, and gather women will arise and gather women to pray, even like Esther did. Oh, gathering all the Jews, even including our servants, to pray, to fast, to humble themselves before the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, when I heard this thing, I sat down and cried for several days. I was sad and fasted. I prayed to the God of heaven. I want you to pray, Almighty God, make me Nehemiah of our day. Make me Nehemiah of our generation. Make me Nehemiah that we sit down, cry, even for the situation of the body of Christ, for the house of God and for our nation. God, by your spirit upon me, make me sit down and cry concerning all this evil report. That, Lord, I will not play I don't care attitude. I will not be complacent, oh Lord, even with the situation, with the terrible news that I'm hearing concerning things done in the house of God. That give unto me, oh Lord, the spirit of grace for prayer in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray according to Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Then he said, I proclaim a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. How do you afflict yourself? Fasting. You know, deny yourself of that thing that you know that daily you must do it. Oh, how I'm praying that our ministers, we begin to raise prayer warriors. We begin in our churches to raise prayer warriors that we pray constantly, seeking the face of God, even for the situation of things in the body of Christ, even for the things going on in our nation, to seek of him a right way for us, so that we will know the right way, so that we will return back to him, and for our little ones and for all our substances, so that they will stop killing our little ones, so that they will stop looting our substances. I want you to pray, God Almighty, tonight, raise men and women like Ezra, that we order body of Christ and say, oh, to fast. Let me tell you, if you did not receive the order, if you God did not raise you up and you say you want to do it, you will soon get tired of it. That's just it. That's why you God must put upon you that spirit of grace and of prayer. So I want you to pray, Almighty God, by your mercy, help me. Help all believers to humble ourselves and ask you to lead us the right way. The right way we should do things in your church, in your house, in the sanctuary. The right way we should go about the work that you have committed into our hands. Father, help us, O Lord. Help all believers to humble ourselves before you, to seek your face in leading us how to do things right, even at this dangerous time. Lord, by your spirit of grace and supplication, help me and all believers. Help us all to ask for your direction. When things happen like this, in the time of the scripture, they will go to the prophet. The prophet will tell them, do it this way. But even now, all prophets are prophets of themselves. They are not prophets of God. Look at what Elijah said. Look at what Isaiah said. Look at, they said, the prophet of the Lord. The Bible says Isaiah, you know, the word of Samuel did not fall to the ground. The man of God. How many can we even say the man of God? How many prophets, true prophets do we have? I want you to pray according to Jonah chapter 3 verse 6. The Bible says, when the king of Nineveh heard about it, he got up from his throne, took off his robe, put on sackcloth, and sat down in ashes. I want you to pray. God, remove all careless. Pray this prayer. Almighty God, remove all careless kings, leaders, rulers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, Remove them from the body of Christ and from our land. Daddy, take them off in the name of Jesus. The king of Nineveh did not play any complacency. He did not mean, he did not display, I don't care attitude. The Bible said he got off from his throne. He took off his robe, put on sackcloth and sat in the ashes. I'm praying tonight, oh Lord, everyone in position of authority that refuses even to be sad, that displaying complacency, even concerning the situation of our land, concerning the situation of the body of Christ, that day tonight remove them, dethrone them in the name of Jesus. God Almighty, tonight replace careless leaders, pastors, evangelists, prophets, believers, rulers, kings, with God-fearing ones, in the name of Jesus. All those careless ones, remove them. That they give unto us, O Lord. All king, like the king of Nineveh, that honor, that respect your word, that fear even your doom coming upon his land, and repented in the name of Jesus. Jonah chapter 3 verse 7 says, he sent out a proclamation. That's king of Nineveh. He sent out proclamation to the people of Nineveh. This is an order from the king and his officers. No one is to eat anything. All persons, cattle, and sheep are forbidden to eat or drink. Imagine. Imagine an unbelieving king. A nation that is already settled for destruction. But look at the reaction of this king when he heard about the impending doom upon his nation. He commanded that nobody should eat, including animals. I want you to pray. Almighty God, give us God-fearing rulers. Give us God-fearing kings, like that of King of Nineveh in the land of Nigeria. Not those kings that all they want is what they can eat. Those kings that have relegated themselves, that have lowered themselves, going to seek help in Abuja. Father, tonight, give us kings and ruler like King of Nineveh. God, give us king and ruler that we give order that all the people to fast and seek the face of God for mercy. In the name of Jesus. Jonah chapter 3 verse 8 says, all persons and animals must wear sackcloth. Oh my. Everyone must pray earnestly. Not just pray. Oh. Everyone. This was the command of the king. And you know the word of the king is authority. He said everyone must pray earnestly to God. And must give up their wicked behavior. You pray earnestly, and you must, is a must issue, that you give up your wicked behavior and your evil actions. I want you to pray. God Almighty, by your mercy, give us leaders, kings, ministers of the gospel, that we order their people to pray earnestly. No prayer that, oh, they say we should pray, we pray. They say we should, if you stand up, I don't care if you sit down, I don't care. But hear this, that they should pray earnestly. Father, give us rulers, kings in our lands. Daddy, give us ministers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles. Father, that we command people, that we gather people, that we pray earnestly, even concerning the situation of our land, that we pray and command people to stop their wicked act, that will not look at people's face, but we say it as you will give it to them. In the name of Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 4 says, and said to him, walk through the streets of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of them that who weep and sigh because of all the sins they see around them. I want you to pray this prayer. Almighty God, I will not be complacent about the situation of the body of Christ and my land. Mark my forehead with the blood of Jesus. Mark my head with the blood of Jesus. Mark my head with the blood of... Let me tell you, I'm not praying generalized prayer. You better pray it. You better pray it to yourself. He said, those individuals that will not play any complacency concerning the situation of the land, those ones that will weep, that will mourn, that will cry, that will take it up, that take it upon themselves to seek the face of God honestly concerning the situation. Let me tell you, it's terrible. How can somebody kill 19 children? I want you to pray, God, I will not be complacent about the situation of the body of Christ. Or the body of Christ where they are burying life, a human being, because they want members to come. Aworo. Or pastor, go and hit with devil. So that when he say this, you will think that he's seen through with the word, with the true spirit. But devil is the one giving him vision. May the Lord have mercy. Let me tell you, this is personal. Becky has said his own. This is personal. It is not like that of Passover marking. The Passover marking, you mark the forehead and the top roof of the house to cover everybody in that house. But this one is personal. I said, go and mark individual. Individual. Each person that prayed for the land, that wept for the situation of the church of God, that did not play a don't care attitude because of what is going on in the body of Christ. Almighty God, because I am weeping and crying and sighing about the sin, the killing, and the evil in the body of Christ and in our land, mark me for salvation. Mark me for salvation from the killing and destruction that is going on. Let me tell you, destruction, slaughtering is going on. And he said we start from the church of God. Father, mark me. Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 6 says, kill them all, young, old, women, children, but do not touch anyone with the mark. You see, it's an individualized thing, no? It's an individualized thing, no? You have to do it yourself. You cannot do it for your child. You have to be the one seeking the face of God concerning this situation of the land and of the body of Christ. And begin right here at the temple. He said they should begin killing, the destruction, the slaughtering, right in the house of God. And they started by killing the 70 elders. Those ones that are practicing abominable things in the church of God. That they have images of creepy things, worshiping. And you will not know. Many, they don't do it in the church now, but in their closet, in their house. You don't know what they have in their closet, in their room. You don't know what they already put in their mouth before they come to church. You don't know what they have under the regalia they put on to come to church. I want you to pray, Almighty God, remove all evil and wicked elders and ministers in your sanctuary tonight. Daddy, because of this abominable practice in the body of Christ, this is enough, God. Father, I pray tonight, remove them all. In the name of Jesus, all those that have blasphemed your name, all those that have brought reproach to the sanctuary of God, Father, remove them tonight in the name of Jesus. Almighty God, let no slaughtering angel touch me, for I have the mark of salvation upon my head. God, mark all the new believers, those that are weeping and mourning over the evils and wickedness going on, practice in the church and in our land, mark up with the blood of Jesus. Remember the song that I sang earlier. Oh, it says that Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinners, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and if we pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Tonight, God is telling you, take it upon yourself. Do not fold your hand. Pray earnestly that God will help our land. Pray and come against every wickedness, evil practice that are going on, even in the church of God in our land. And the Bible say that the Lord commanded, mark that person that pray. He said, pray for Jerusalem, those who love it will prosper. Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 8. That's where we're stopping tonight. Said, I was then alone, so I bowed down and cried out to the Lord. Why are you doing this? Are you so angry with the people of Jerusalem that everyone must die? I want you to pray, Almighty God, pour your spirits. I need it, your spirit of grace. Let me tell you, it's not by power, it's not by man, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You need the help of the spirit of the Lord. That's why you must cry for Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ knows about it. He said, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You cannot pray with your physical power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit that will help you to pray right, that will help you to pray with groaning that could not be uttered. I want you to pray, Almighty God, pour your spirit of grace and supplication upon us. Let your spirit bow us down and cry out to you fervently for the body of Christ and for our lands. Merciful God, relent your anger and destruction in the house of God tonight. Merciful Father, relent, O Lord, your anger and destruction in our lands. By your great mercy, O Lord, Daddy, we pray, O Lord, that you will remember mercy in your judgment, O Lord. We have sinned woefully against you, O Lord. Our sin is so great, very great before you. But Lord, by your mercy, we pray, O Lord, tonight, have mercy on us. And Father, relent even your destruction, your anger for destruction upon the body of Christ and upon even our lands in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I remind your sister Becky, please let us stop being complacent with the evil act.